President Trump hasn't yet made many overt foreign policy moves, but that appears to be changing now. Earlier this month, the commander-in-chief announced his decision to send 400 additional U.S. troops to Syria, including a team of Army Rangers and a military artillery unit. In addition to that, 2,500 ground troops to a base in Kuwait, within striking distance of targets in Iraq and Syria. In a few minutes, we're going to get a view of some of Iraq's refugee camps as coalition forces try to push ISIS out of Mosul. But first, a look at the Trump administration's latest moves in the region. Andrew de Grandpre is chief editor and Pentagon bureau chief for Military Times, and he joins me now. Andrew, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks so much for having me.
I mentioned 400 additional troops to Syria, 2,500 ground troops to Kuwait. Is this a significant American escalation in the fight against ISIS?
Well, I would say it depends who you ask, certainly. But yeah, on the face of it, I mean, it's definitely a shift. The extra troops that you mentioned in Syria are doing two different missions. The Army Rangers are conducting what's called reassurance and deterrence. It's sort of a new term that the Pentagon has come up with, aimed at keeping two ethnic rivals kind of at bay from fighting one another in a city called Manbij. The other assets have been deployed in and around Raqqa, which is the Islamic State's self-declared capital. And they're primarily Marines, U.S. Marines, and they brought a lot of artillery with them.
The president during the campaign promised that he would get a plan to defeat ISIS within 30 days from his commanders. Is this the plan?
I would say that this is probably a component of the plan. I think that the president's goal is looking beyond just Iraq and Syria and how to defeat not only the Islamic State, but also terror groups that exist elsewhere in the world.
So many of the units involved here have been involved already in backing up Iraqi troops and assisting with logistics, with intel. This mission seems like it's different now.
Well, I think the Pentagon would say that by and large, it's going to remain the focus to do everything that the U.S. military can to support both the Iraqis and the sort of coalition of militia forces that have been assembled in Iraq. But if they're bringing more firepower in to those regions, clearly they want to step up the effort to get the Islamic State out of there.
And is there evidence that the fight has been wanting for this kind of increased U.S. combat capability? I mean, are there things the Iraqi coalition hasn't been able to do, and they're saying they need U.S. guns and U.S. troops to do it?
Well, Mosul in particular has been a tough slog. I spoke with a two-star army general in charge of land forces in Iraq not too long ago. And the picture he painted is that, you know, this is tough urban battle. I think, you know, they're going block by block, in some cases door by door, looking to get militants out of there. You know, having additional U.S. support in that mission is only going to speed things along, I think, in the mindset of most people both in the Pentagon and who are forward deployed in command positions in the war zone.
And, you know, Andrew, if we take a big step back from this, sort of from the foreign policy perspective, the strategy during the Obama years was getting the U.S. out of combat missions in Iraq and Afghanistan. They were popular moves by President Obama. Does this mean that that doctrine from the Obama administration is gone and overt use of U.S. troops against ISIS is back on the table in a way that significantly shifts our foreign policy posture here?
I wouldn't say significantly. Certainly, President Trump has been an outspoken critic of many of the decisions that his predecessor made. However, many of the generals and military and national security experts that have, been solicited by the president for their advice do see some value in kind of the limited warfare, if you will, that President Obama advocated. So, you know, on the one hand, you can see the potential deployment of 2,500 troops to Kuwait as something of an alarming escalation. At the same time, you know, that if a percentage of those do end up going into the war zone, you're still looking at a significantly smaller footprint overall compared to the height of the Iraq war.
Andrew de Grandpre, chief editor and Pentagon bureau chief for the Military Times. Thank you.
Thank you.